2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And then we'll skip forward to the beginning of chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So I was struggling. I sort of started on this passage and couldn't quite work out where to stop before then. So I'm sorry if it was a bit of a long section, but I wanted to, in a sense, let the word that Paul wrote feed through. So this letter, if you don't know it, is written by Paul to a church leader, Timothy, who was probably relatively young in his, believed probably to have been in his 20s. He was from a Greek background, which I think is, so he wasn't a Jew by background. Timothy was a Greek name. And so Paul, this leader of the early church, who definitely was from a Jewish background, is writing to him. And I think what the first point I wanted to make, particularly on this Father's Day, is around the passing down of faith. We see in this passage very much faith passed down, because it talks about in 1 verses 3 to 5, Paul does talk in verse 3. He says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did. So Paul sees the heritage of his faith passed down through the ancestors to him. But we also in verse 5 see the lineage of faith to Timothy. Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Faith was passed down the generations. In fact, if you're looking to 3 verse 15, Paul talks about, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. It sounds very much like Timothy's mother educated him in the faith. The faith was passed down. Paul refers to in 2 verse 1 to Timothy as my child. In some sense, he is a spiritual father to Timothy. So this passing on of the gospel, passing it down the generations, Paul as an older leader to Timothy as a younger leader, it's really critical that faith is passed down. That's something we very much believe in this church, that it is right to be passing our faith on to younger generations, because they will then be able to pass it down. I'm sure all of us who are here can talk of those who passed the gospel to us. We all have spiritual parents, which may be our biological parents, or it may not. Timothy, clearly was brought up in faith by his grandmother and mother, and we give thanks for that. And I that's my testimony too, that I was brought up in the faith, but not true of everybody. Certainly the 1 in 2 people in this country who don't have a Christian friend or family, the surveys actually all includes family members as well, to pass the faith on to them. Who's going to be their spiritual parents? Can we be their spiritual parents, perhaps? The gospel is very much made to be passed on, to be passed down. It is not something to hide away. So that, I think, is message one of this passage, is faith passed down. The second point I want to bring out is faith held firm. Faith held firm. Paul is very keen to make sure that Timothy sticks to the faith. That Timothy isn't just making it up or changing it. It's throughout this passage. 1 verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. There might have been a temptation, because Paul at this time was in prison, probably actually quite close to the point when he was being executed, when he would eventually be executed by the Romans. But he's very angry. It would have been tempting for Timothy to go, oh, well, Paul's been locked up. He must have had something wrong. We'll change what he told us. But actually, Paul is very clear here. Do not be ashamed. Stick to it. If you look ahead to 1 verse 14, it says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. So take that deposit of faith, deposit of teaching and sound doctrine that was passed to Timothy. Needs protecting. It needs treating with respect and with as a precious a deposit is like, you deposit money in the bank, you put valuable things on deposit. This faith and truth is an important gift that we have received, and we need to look after it and make sure that we are treating it carefully. If we are tempted to change the gospel, that is a temptation to drift away. It's not to say we shouldn't question and challenge our faith and think deeply about it. It's not to say we should be mindless Christians, but we need to be very careful about changing our faith. We need to stick close, knowing our Bible, so that we know what is the truth for ourselves. Is really important. And Paul, as throughout his letters, he has little bits of the gospel seasoned through his letters. So 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Our salvation is not by something we do. How many times have we heard people err towards saying we get saved by something we have done? We are saved for good works, not because of them. But it's now been, and going on to verse 10, it's now been revealed through the appearing of Jesus, of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who's destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The good news of eternal life through Jesus. Again, just continually reminding Timothy of the nature of the gospel that he serves. 1:12, that is why I'm suffering as I am. That's no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So it's been passed to Paul, and Paul is saving, in a sense, keeping the faith, keeping the doctrine, to the point of suffering to death. This is the gospel that is so precious that Paul keeps it true. And wants to, he says in 1:13, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. The gospel is a precious thing, and we need to, as well as passing it on and sharing it, we need to make sure it's not a game of Chinese whispers, where every time it's passed on to somebody, it changes a bit. It's actually really important that we hold firm to it. This is why the Bible is such a the Bible as a enduring word of God is so valuable, because if we hold firm to this, we are not in danger of the Chinese whispers experience, where passing it on changes it. I'm sure you've all played that game of Chinese whispers, and you go round the room with the whisper going from one to the next, and by the time it's got back to the beginning, it's completely different from what started. We can be hugely thankful that because the scriptures are written down for us and have been written down for nearly 2,000 years in essentially the same form, that we know that the faith that we have is that same faith that was passed from Paul to Timothy. So I urge you, brothers, don't be swayed. Don't drift away from the faith. Don't insert the bits that we would like, the bits that make life easier for us. Because we do know the gospel is a hard truth sometimes. The fact that we cannot earn our way into salvation, the fact that we have to trust in Jesus, the fact that we have to set aside us being king of our own lives, we have to submit. These are not easy things for us to hear. But the Lord is sovereign, and we must hear his word, and we must guard it in our hearts. So faith passed down, faith held firm. My third heading, faith in endurance. I've already talked a bit of Paul is the good example of this. He is enduring suffering. He is chained up at this point in time. The word, if we just go to verses chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. That is my gospel, So again, Paul just sprinkles his letters with these bits of sound doctrine. But he then says, this is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul endures. He holds true to the faith and suffers for it. And the suffering does not distract him from his task. He endures. And we all need to think about how we endure and carry on and press on in the faith. It's not easy. There are challenges for us. There will be difficult decisions we have to make. Are we really prioritizing God's message and word to us? It's all very easy to get caught up in the ways of this world, to desire the latest, greatest thing, put our resources into the wrong things, get caught up in activities that aren't a blessing. We get obsessed by all sorts of things, but we need to be enduring in our task that God has set before us. It's not to say there's a particular task that we all have, that we're all meant to do. It's God has different plans for each of us, and we need to be close to Him to know what His plan is for us. What is the thing that He wants us to do, and particularly what is the thing He wants us to do now? That it may change over time. I can certainly give testimony that I personally, I've talked about working at London City Mission. I feel absolutely called into that piece of, into that work. That is what He's called me to do. In the past, He had me called into other things. I spent 6 years at the Baptist Union, and again, I felt very much called to that. And prior to that, I worked in some commercial roles, and God, I'm convinced looking back that God was using that, and that was where I was called to be at that time. I'm sure there are times when I have not followed the calling God had for me, but there are definitely times when I can see that He has called and placed challenges in front of me for me to be equipped for. So my challenge to you is, you know, where is it that you're serving the gospel? And so Paul has that message for Timothy. So if we look at verse 6, so having established in verse 5 that he believes that Timothy has a sincere faith, he says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Timothy is encouraged to say, you have a gifting, you have a purpose. God has given you work to do. You need to use that gift. There's no point having a great gift of leadership or preaching or teaching or whatever. We don't see what all the detail of what Timothy was doing, but we know he was a church leader, and so he clearly had some leadership gifts, and Paul is encouraging him to serve through those gifts. This is a really important message for us all, is what is our gifting, what is our the service that we have been called to. But that's not always easy, as I've talked about Paul, but Timothy also is instructed in chapter 2 verse 3, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It's not easy always. Sometimes there are difficult things that we have to do. Sometimes, you know, we have to endure painful relationships. Sometimes we have to endure financial or material hardship because of what God has called us to do. But God will reward these things. If we just look at these little one-sentence parables, almost, in verses, in chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Our commanding officer is Jesus. So it's our job to serve Jesus, not get distracted from that. I don't think this is, these are such short little sort of, what, as I say, one sentence parables. We have to be a bit careful about reading too much into them. But I think the key sort of instruction of this one is very much focus. We need to be focused on Jesus. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. We need to stick to the gospel, stick to sound teaching. We need to be obedient to God. If we try to do it our own way without following God's rules, we won't be rewarded. We won't be serving the right master. And finally, the hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. I think this is an encouragement to hard work. There are rewards for hard work. What is the work that God is calling you to do? I think doing difficult things for the gospel actually has its own reward. My experience is that when we put ourselves out for God, God does reward that. So, what I don't want to say is that there is a promise that suddenly if you do these things you will be materially wealthy, or there will be a sudden outpouring of, you know, money in your pocket. That's the measure of this world, maybe, you know, or that will be massively popular and that everybody will think we're the most wonderful person. That's not the promise that God gives. God promises reward in his terms, in faith, in love, in the kingdom of, reward in the kingdom of God, not necessarily in the way that we would, our world would measure success and reward. Let me just bring us back, remind us that key verse at the end of verse 10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that is the people that God wants me to reach. I endure everything to communicate the gospel, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Who are the people that God has called you to speak to? Or maybe to enable somebody else to speak. You know, my role at the moment is very much one of enabling missionaries to fulfill their calling. So sometimes, when an opportunity presents to share the gospel, absolutely do share the gospel. But sometimes your role might be to enable others to do that. You know, serving the tea and coffee, cleaning the toilets, emptying the bins, whatever that allows others to be freed up to serve their calling. It's all roles in serving the gospel are valuable, even if you're not always an evangelist. Endure so that the word is passed on. So faith passed down, faith held firm, faith in endurance. I have a fourth point. I couldn't find a way of making it fit the pattern of the other headings. But the point I just want to make, God is with us in this. What I might have said so far might have sounded very much like hard work and depressing, but the really important point is that God is with us in all of this. We are not alone. Timothy is encouraged to fan into flame the gift of God. It's a gift of God. God gave you the gifts for the jobs he wanted you to do. He gives us all, in verse 7, going further on, a gift of power, love, and self-discipline. He gives us what we need, a powerful gift to help us to do the work. He gives us the gift of love to love those around us, and the self-discipline to make sure that we do what we are called to do. That is part of what God gives us. 1 verse 12. It's not just Paul. If you read verse 12, it says that is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he He, Jesus, is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So God is there protecting Paul and the gospel. Paul is not on his own. And moving on to verse 14, he says it again. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit with us to enable us. This is not just our task, but a task that we share in with God. So, and then verse 9 in chapter 2, it says, "For I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained." God is still working to get his word out there in partnership with us. It's both and. We need both us to do our part, but God does his part too. And we can be confident that if we do our part, God will do his part too. So I haven't mentioned at all yet, actually, my favourite bit of this whole passage, which is actually the very last bit, which when I first heard it, there's very few passages in the scripture where I really can remember the first time I heard this, but this one is one. I was reading it with an older Christian who was reading the Bible with me when I was at university. Peter Haynes. None of you will know Peter Haynes, but he played the organ at our wedding. And he read the Bible with me as a student when I was 19, in my first year at university. Every week we read the Bible together, and that absolutely anchored my faith. And I remember reading this passage with him. We read through 2 Timothy, that was what we studied. So I love this book. It says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." The reason I remember this is because, in a sense, it shocked me, this particular little passage. If we died with him, we will also live with him. So this is saying, if we put to death our earthly desires, everything that our flesh body wants, and we will live with God in the heavenly realms. That is a great reward. That's eternal life. So if we die, in the sense, the symbolic waters of baptism, and rise up, we rise up and reborn to live with him. If we endure, if we serve, we will reign with him. God will reward us in the heavenly places. Those are the easy bits, in a sense, but the last two phrases of the four are the bits that are a bit difficult. If we disown him, he will disown us. So this idea of disowning Jesus, disowning the gospel, in many ways it's actually the big sin. If we deny God, if we deny the gospel, that now that we know it and have understood it, that is actually the big sin. So we must be faithful, we must in that sense stick with Jesus. We must not disown the gospel. That's a difficult one to hear. I always find that hard to hear. So, you know, be careful on this. Don't disown Jesus, because he will disown us if we do. That is what we're being told here. But, I think they always think there should be a but at the beginning of verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So our faith is weak. We are imperfect. There are moments when we doubt. There are moments when we drift away and say, I'm not sure. There are moments where we are faithless, not faithful. But when we are faith, less. God doesn't give up on us. He is faithful. There are plenty of stories. We can run a long way from Jesus, but we take one step back the other way and we're with him again, because he runs after us. He stays close. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, because he cannot disown himself. Because the gospel is one of salvation. If we repent, just takes that one moment of repentance. If we fall away and make mistakes, have those faithless times, all we have to do, the gospel tells us, that all we need to do is turn back to Jesus, and he is there. Because he is faithful and cannot disown himself from the gospel. Because if he was to say, you've been so bad, I can't have you back, that would be Jesus denying the gospel. He doesn't. It's all it takes. So if you have disobeyed God, maybe you haven't endured the hardship, maybe you haven't done the task that was set before you. I know there have been times when I've done that. But the real encouragement here is that God is with us to endure, and he is faithful. So even if we make mistakes, we just get back up and we go again. And God is there with us. So, faith passed down. Do be passing it on. It's our job to pass the gospel on, not just to hold up, not just to know it, but to pass it on. Be grateful that it's been passed down to us, but it's our job to pass it on again. Faith held firm. Don't be swayed. Stick firm to the true gospel. Faith in endurance, do press on, keep going. It can be hard sometimes, but don't be surprised. Be encouraged that God is with you that you can endure. And finally, God is with us. The work is his work, and he will give us all we need to do it. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are faithful even when we are faithless. We thank you that your gospel has reached us, that faith has been passed down to us. We pray that we might feel that calling and urgency to pass it on to those who have not heard. Lord, help us to hold firm to the faith. Help us to keep and guard the good deposit placed in us. Help us to be wise and know when we are being given the truth and when we are being given lies. And Lord, help us to endure for your gospel. Help us to face challenges. Help us to step away from temptations, but serve you wholeheartedly. And Lord, help us to know that the work is yours, that you are with us and you are equipping us for everything that you want us to do. And Lord, finally, we do thank you that you are faithful to us, even when we are faithless. Lord, I just call your blessing upon us, your Holy Spirit with us in this week ahead as we look to serve you. Amen.